Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Joey Vendetta fills in for Jeff Blair. Joey, help yourself to all the coffee you can drink from the lunchroom. It's 75 cents a cup. This is The Jeff Blair Show with guest host Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It is 10:01. It's a Friday. Going to be a gorgeous weekend. Highs of around 22. Get us to like 27 on Monday, but I don't know if you care that much about Monday, but enjoy this weekend. Still to come on the show, the newest Toronto Raptor, Damari Carroll. Unless you count Ridenour, but he's not going to play for the team, is he? Guy's been traded like four times in 3 minutes. DeLon Wright's also going to be on the program in the 11 o'clock hour. First round pick of your Toronto Raptors. What do you think of Damari Carroll? I like him. I think it's a great signing. I mean, look, let's go down the list of who's available. Wesley Matthews, see ya. He signed. It's over. LeBron's going to sign in Cleveland. Gasol's going to sign in Memphis. LaMarcus is going back to L.A. to have another meeting. So the Laker meeting went so badly that the Lakers were embarrassed, right? And Jim Buss may resign, by the way, because he had a deal with his sister, Jeannie Buss, that if the team still sucked after 3 years, that he'd resign. And it looks like he's going to resign. Nobody wants to play in L.A. They're talking about getting Rondo. Rondo? That is like, that's a backcourt plague right there. I think Sacramento was talking to Rondo as well. Sacramento's talking to Rondo. They were talking to Monte Ellis, too. Those guys hated each other in Dallas. Shows you how confused. Could you imagine Rondo and DeMarcus Cousins with George Karl coaching them? For those of you who don't know who any of these people are, and there's definitely some of you out there, this is like you hating your father-in-law and then deciding to move in with him and his stepson, who tried to sleep with your wife. That's kind of like what it is. Wow. The desperation is insane. So this makes the Damari Carroll signing. I mean, but Monte Ellis is now signed with Indiana. So he was like, I ain't going back to Dallas. I ain't signing with Sacramento. Greg Monroe just won the lottery to go to Milwaukee. I mean, Milwaukee for 3 years for $50 million. Brandon Knight got $70 million. Tyson Chandler, Phoenix is loading up, getting Tyson Chandler too. And Milwaukee picked up Middleton, Chris Middleton. So I kind of like what Milwaukee's doing as well. Wesley Matthews is going to Dallas. So he's off the table. Who's left? Tobias Harris, pretty much, right? Howie in Aurora, you are on the radio. How are you, Howie?
Hi, great. It's actually Howie J.
Howie J.
Right. I like the J's, too.
Okay, so Howie J., what's going on?
I like the Damari Carroll signing. He's a big, strong, athletic three, great defender. He can defend a guy like LeBron, T. Ross Kant. He's a good three-point shooter. He's a great complement to their guards. He's a great signing. He will help on perimeter D. He's a good complement to our guards. We built up our guards by drafting Powell and DeLon Wright, who are, you know, very good athletic defenders, better than Vasquez. So I think the Ridenour signing is a good signing because they're not bringing Lou back. I think having Lou Williams was a cover for all the weaknesses they had last year. So I think now that, even though they lost Matthews, if they get a couple of good bigs in, they'll never get Aldridge. But if they get a couple of bigs in, I think they'll be a stronger team.
You think Ridenour is going to play for the Raptors?
I think he's insurance because Powell or one of Fowler Wright will go to the D-League, and I think T-Ross will be on the bench because he hasn't developed, and they don't give him a role to play offensively, and he's not a consistent shooter. So I think what you're going to see is a team that can guard Beal and Wall better with guys like DeLon Wright and Powell. And, you know, Vasquez is a pylon in their pick-and-roll defense. So, you know, the faster guards get around him. So you're going to find a better perimeter defending team, more athletic team, stronger team at 1, 2, and 3. And I think Carroll is a fantastic signing.
Thank you for your call, Howie J. The phone lines are open. What do you think of the Damari Carroll signing? Wide open. And we're still taking some calls on who's the most valuable player for your Toronto Blue Jays at the halfway point of the season. Jays tonight start 3 in Detroit. And we'll go to Twitter. Devin Travis, before the injury, was lighting it up. My MVP is Osuna. Valencia was safe, period. Talking about last night, the slide. The phantom slide. The phantom tag. How's that? We'll call it the phantom tag. Everything needs a name. Mark DeRoche tweets, thanks for the tickets to last night's game. My dad and I booed the ump like crazy. Nice work. Sean McKeon, at Screaming Beagles, the Leafs won the trade, and the signings have been great for the rebuild. Now let's see if they stay the course. That's the key with the Toronto Maple Leafs. If they stay the course. And they will. I mean, look, Shanahan isn't going to deviate from the plan. He's just not. Because they keep saying the same thing over and over. There's going to be pain. This is going to take years. We're assembling assets. And that's the only way that they're going to rebuild this team. It's really going to come down with their ability to assess talent, the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's it. That's what this is all about. If they are great judges of character, and look, you heard Mike Babcock what he said. If you're a long-suffering Toronto Maple Leaf fan, Mike Babcock saying, we want good people first. Hopefully he's not talking out of both sides of his mouth. Really? I don't know Mike Babcock, right? I mean, his track record speaks for itself on the ice. But, you know, teams like to look the other way when it's convenient for them. And I'll use the LA Kings as an example. They got Mike Richards. They won 2 Stanley Cups with him. And now he hasn't been convicted of anything. Slava Voynov's still on the roster. And Mike Richards has been cast adrift. It's pro sports. What have you done for me lately? Pro athletes, for the most part, are pieces of meat. It's that simple. By the way, so are you. That's what you are to your company, to your employer. Yes, you may have a compassionate supervisor or boss, but push comes to shove, and it's you or them. Who do you think it's going to be? Justin in Mississauga, how are you today?
Good morning, Joey.
How's it going, man?
I'm good.
Oh, dude, thank you very much. It's very nice of you to say that.
Listen, I think everybody's forgetting about David Lee. He's still out there,
yep.
And I think he would be the ideal pickup, low ego, great four, still can rebound, can still score. That's what we need. We don't need another defender. We need some scoring. And everybody's going bonkers over Damari Carroll. He's an average player who's getting $15 million a year, which is absolutely incredible. But as you said yesterday, you can't worry about the contract because of this TV contract. Damari Carroll, that is nothing to shake a stick at. He was the fifth best player on Atlanta.
Well, he was the only Atlanta Hawk that didn't make the All-Star game, but in the playoffs, he may have been their best player, right? I mean, he did play well. They went out in 4 in the Eastern Conference Final, but he was arguably their best player. And look, the Raptors are buying high on Damari Carroll. They are. He had his
Absolutely.
Best season. They're buying. But listen, you have to buy at some point. And right now, the Raptors, unlike the Toronto Maple Leafs, and thanks for your call, the Raptors, like the Toronto Maple Leafs, are completely different, right? The Toronto Maple Leafs are, let's just tread water. We've got a bunch of guys that are going to fill sweaters until the prospects that we're assembling are ready to be brought up. You know, is Mitch Marner going to play in Toronto this year? No chance. Zip. None. If Mitch Marner plays in Toronto this year, then everything that the Leafs have said is a bunch of bull. Period. Mitch Marner should not come anywhere near the Air Canada Centre. He shouldn't even be allowed there. The guy needs to season. So do all the prospects, okay? That's why they signed Dan Winnick for a couple of years, and that's why they've signed Mark Arcabello, Richard Pontic. Look, Pontic's a young kid. He may still pan out. He may still fit in. If you look at the Leafs' projected timeline, then he'll be about 27, 28 if he's still in Toronto. But, you know, chances are if the guy has any decent seasons, he might leave as a UFA. But that's down the line. You know, P.A. Parenteau is a one-year deal. Nick Spaulding. Like, I mean, look, these guys are – there's word that, you know, Tyler Bozak's going to get dealt. So it remains to be seen. But getting back to Damari Carroll, who's going to be a guest on the program in the 11 o'clock hour. You had to buy right now. And I like the David Lee idea. Everyone's going, look, Dwayne Wade, $20 million for a year. Right? The Suns traded a bunch of players and making space for LaMarcus Aldridge. There's all kinds of moves being made in the NBA, and the Raptors are kind of having, they got to work with within the framework, right, that they're able to. You can sit around and say, oh, we should get this guy, we should get that guy. But it's just not realistic. What do they got left, $9 million? You know, Lillard's going back to Portland for between $125 and $130 million. How good is it to be an NBA player right now? How good is that? They had to sign him. Sixth overall selection just a few years ago. And it's insane. It's incredible. It's incredible the amount of money being thrown around here. And the Raptors have to compete within that framework. If you're a Toronto Raptor fan, you have to be happy that they got Damari Carroll, because otherwise, they weren't getting anybody. I don't know if you guys figured this out yet, but people aren't lining up to come to Toronto. They'll talk a good game. I love Toronto. Great city. We the North. It's a bunch of happy horse you-know-what. There's no lineup to come to Toronto. Masai Ujiri did a great job in getting Damari Carroll. And the reason he got Damari Carroll is he paid him more money than anyone else was going to pay him. No one else was giving him that kind of dough. And he had a relationship with him. They signed him right away. We'll ask Damari about it. He's going to be on in the 11 o'clock hour. They signed him right away, right? He posted that picture on Instagram right away. Nice picture of him, Dwayne Casey, with Masai. They're all happy. He's wearing some shorts with stars on them. I got to ask him about those. Be like, where'd you get those, man? Those would come in handy this weekend. Milos Raonic, by the way, is out. It's over. If you would have said to me at the beginning of Wimbledon that my hopes would rest on Pospisil, I would have said, nah. But Eugenie Bouchard, who has a lot of thinking to do, is out. And Nick Kyrgios, a fine Greek man, he could single-handedly solve the financial woes of Greece after this win. Eliminated in four sets. So Raonic is out at Wimbledon. What about Rafa Nadal? Sayonara. Nadal was eliminated by the dreadlock king. Did you see this guy? Dustin Dreddy Brown. Like, stuns Nadal. Like, that was stunning. I love watching Wimbledon. You may not like tennis, but Wimbledon's just like, you got to watch it. It's just one of those benchmark, like, crazy benchmark, incredible, iconic events that you just have to watch. Once again, the phone lines are open. It is 10:15. I'm Joey Vendetta in for Jeff Blair. Kind of like, since it's Friday, we're having some fun. So we got a tweet for Raptors NBA Hoops at Bison73J. Damari Carroll is a great signing. Ujiri far from done changing the roster. Expect a trade for a power forward. And then says, actually, Detroit offered Carroll $14 million a year. There you go. And the Raptors beat it by $1 million. That's a lot of money. Although the tax structure will probably be a little bit different in the U.S. than Canada. Although I'm sure Damari Carroll has some really smart accounting people. They're going to help him keep as much of that money as possible. We're asking you who the most valuable Blue Jay is. And Gary Cook, painfully listening to that Kawasaki Bannerman ad, I'm impressed how good Kawasaki can play. Post-stroke. That's funny. Got your attention, though. You're going to go buy a car from there, aren't you? Troy Willard. Osuna's been a diamond in one of the roughest bullpens in the league. He's worth an MVP discussion. Yeah, need more of a sample size. But he's going to be a good one. I mean, he's the guy that kind of surfaced, right? Out of all the young arms that we talked about, like Marcus Stroman notwithstanding, Sanchez still hurt. Norris, no matter what you say about how well he's pitched, his record's terrible in Buffalo. Now, not all his fault, but circumstantial to a degree. Probably going to come up early next week. But Osuna's been a stud, just from his composure alone. Again, Twitter, wide open. You don't even have to call in. At Radio Vendetta for your thoughts. Pilar's made a lot of base running mistakes during pivotal moments of a game. Not MVP worthy. Fair enough. But his glove is MVP worthy. Without question, MVP worthy. Okay, again, MVP for the Blue Jays. What do you think of Damari Carroll? And, you know, the Phil Kessel thing is kind of, it's going to blow over quickly. But I actually have a clip here of Phil from an interview that I did with him last year. And you know how good things always kind of go bad. And here's Phil Kessel, right? You know, the Leafs locker room has been questioned. But guys don't play in the NHL because they don't want to win. You can think whatever you want. You can think guys aren't trying. You can think they don't care. But Phil Kessel, I think, to a lot of degree, big degree, great degree, whatever you want to call it, is misunderstood. He's misunderstood because he delivered what he was supposed to. He scored goals. That's why he was brought to Toronto to score goals. Yeah, you know what? The trade was ill-fated from the beginning. Would you rather have Tyler Seguin and Dougie Hamilton? Ultimately, that's who it is. Yeah, of course. No question. No question. Here's Phil Kessel talking about what kind of locker room he thought the Leafs had.
You know, I think we got a great locker room here, first off. You know, we got a bunch of good guys here. You know, it's fun to come to the rink every day, and it's fun to play, you know, play for the guys in the locker room. I think we got a good mix of both young and old guys. You know, we got, you know, some young guys that only played a couple of years in the league, and then we got guys that have played, you know, 8-9 years in the league, and I think every team needs a little young and old, and I think we got a pretty good mix of that.
David in Toronto on the telephone. How are you this morning, David?
Good, sir. I just want to let you know or get your take on this. I think the Gong Show and Circus has finally left town with all the old Leafs. And finally, I think we've, and I've always been preaching this, finally we've got somebody that has experience on the world stage. And I think you're going to see in the next couple of years, you know, it takes world stage players to play here. But to my point is, Babcock brings credibility. And, you know, I think over the next couple of years, when you've got some big, you know, unrestricted free agents, I think they're going to look towards Toronto and say, hey, listen, do I want to play potentially for the coach of Team Canada? And I'm excited. I think they're going to do a good job. But I just want to get your take.
Yeah, I think that, again, Toronto is a very unique market. David, thanks for your call. And I think Toronto is a very unique market on a bunch of levels. It's the, whether you like it or not, it's the epicenter of the hockey universe. It's got more media talking about hockey than anywhere in the world. That has an effect. Media has an effect on the way people behave. And as Jody Shelley, our guest in the 9 o'clock hour, just before 10 o'clock, had said, the players look at social media. The players listen to the radio. The players look online. They are digitally savvy, right? They're on their phones all the time, just like you are. You can't put your phone down when you're in your car. You're risking your life, yet you still have your phone in your hand. Think about it. We have difficulty doing things that make sense. We're human. So Mike Babcock, sure enough, is a world-class coach. He's being paid as the best coach in the world. Hockey coach, anyway. He makes as much as a college football coach in the U.S. That's big money. But what happens in 2 years? That's the question. What's the timeline here for the Toronto Maple Leafs? And by that, I mean, let's fast forward and it's 2 years from now. Leafs have finished in 28th place. Mitch Marner doing okay with the Marlies, not really lighting it up. Harrington hasn't panned out. Kapanen's okay. Lootbull's long gone. Bozak's long gone. Phaneuf's long gone. How do you feel then? Babcock's like dealing with the media circling like sharks. It's 2 years from now. When are you going to make the playoffs? Your prospects are busts. I'm just saying, that could happen. That could very well happen. I'm not saying it's going to. We also thought when Brian Burke got here that things were going to be different. And Brian Burke, by the way, what's going on in Calgary right now? Oh, they're one of the best young teams in the NHL. Who's in charge? Yeah, Brad Treliving is the general manager. Don't think for a second that Brian Burke's not in on every decision. Everyone. That's Brian Burke's team. Yeah, before he got there, they had a bunch of good players. He somehow managed to keep that going. Smart enough to hire Treliving, who's done a great job. They just got Dougie Hamilton. Dougie Hamilton. He should be a Leaf. Dougie Hamilton should be in Toronto. The Toronto Maple Leafs, first pairing, DK, like guys on D. It should be Morgan Rielly and Dougie Hamilton. That should be your first pairing defensive unit for the Toronto Maple Leafs for the next 10 years. But it's not. Matt in Burlington, you are on the Fan, Sportsnet 590. How are you, pal?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. What's going on?
Yeah, I just want to talk a little Blue Jays for a second here, but I'm actually en route to Detroit to watch the series this weekend. As far as MVP goes, if you want to go off, I mean, Donaldson, of course, has been outstanding this year, but I have to agree with you in that Roberto Osuna has just been outstanding, and consistency is king as far as relievers go, and I think what he's doing is pretty special, and I think, with the Marcus Stroman injury, you can start thinking of this guy as maybe being a potential spot starter next season. So I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts are on that.
As long as it's not Matt Boyd, I'm okay with anybody being a spot starter. I'm easy. As long as it's not Matt Boyd, I'm good. Like after that last night, I mean, listen, he pitched well last week, but just got destroyed. And I mean, that's one of those situations where you're like thinking, man, is this going to affect this guy for a while? I mean, yeah, that was just brutal. So. Just
it's tough to come back, especially when you see, he's like, I think it's one of three pitchers in history to give up seven runs without getting an out. First Jays pitcher to do the same feat. So, yeah, I hope he bounces back. I think he will. But, you just got to pound the strike zone, I guess, right? So.
Yeah, listen, he was solid in his first outing. He's only 24 years old, but seven runs on six hits and a walk without recording an out is like, wow. I mean, that is spectacular. But, again, Dave Steeb did it. He turned out okay. So I think we've got David in Toronto. Is that who we just had on, or we got Matt in Burlington here? Hello?
How are you?
Oh, hold on a second. There we go. I'm completely out of order. Those were our last two callers. So Chris in Stony Creek, what's going on, pal?
I love Burlington anyways, buddy, so it's all good.
Cool.
Everything is great, man. Great show as always. I want to talk about the Jays, if that's okay.
Of course.
I think from the MVP standpoint, I think when Donaldson was up there batting around 330, I think at one point, I think he would have been my vote. You know, you can't expect him to bat that for the whole year. I think it's interesting, though, you know, like there's so many different players on the Jays that you could pick. You know, Reyes for his bat right now, not really the glove. Osuna, you know, Donaldson. But if I could just add a little piece there for you is the trade of the year so far is definitely the Josh Donaldson for Brett Laurie trade, man. When that trade came down,
I
remember reading a quote from a guy on the Oakland Athletics. I forget who it was. And he was like, I can't believe this trade just happened. We just traded our best player. And he is there. He was their best player, man. He's amazing, Josh Donaldson. He's going to be a great player for years to come, man. And when it comes to Wimbledon, I love tennis.
Yeah, go ahead. You
do? When it comes to Wimbledon, I love tennis. You know, I was a little bit upset to see Rafael Nadal lose yesterday. You know what I mean? I don't think we'll see him get back to the way he was back in 2011 or 2012, and that's a shame because he's probably going to go down as one of the top five tennis players of all time. But it's great to see Wimbledon, though, man. It's definitely a great tournament. Thank you, man.
And yeah, seeing Pospisil make it through to the third round. I mean, Raonic lost today to Kyrgios, which is, I mean, look, Raonic is a guy that when you can serve 145 miles an hour, you're going to win some matches. He's got, I think, got to refine his game a little bit more, and tough to see him lose. You know, I mean, he's a good guy and represents Canada well. I love when people don't. I mean, he's been here since he was 3 years old, and I love when people refer to him as anything but Canadian. It is Vendetta. It is 10:27 on this Friday, July the 3rd. We're going to come back next with a woman that's being inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame and is arguably one of the greatest hockey players ever, male or female in my mind. When we return on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show with special guest host Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It is 10:36. Derek, keep these tunes going right here. No, keep that going. Derek's our producer. This might be the best bass line ever. You should be dancing by the Bee Gees right now. If you're in your car, I advise you to pull over, because you're going to break out in some moves. 24 minutes in front of 11 o'clock. It's Friday. We're having a little fun here. Like, I mean, you could get out of your car right now and dance on the roof with this thing going. This is popping. Wow. All right. By the way, you can still keep it going because I'm digging it. I like this breakdown here with the horns. You got to like good horns. All right, I've been out for the last 3 weeks. How tired are you of me? I'm tired of me. We still have Damari Carroll on the show. We are going to get DeLon Wright on the show. They are new Toronto Raptors. All right, we get it, Derek. We can dial this back a little bit now. By the way, Travis McKenzie, our producer, doing a fine job there as well. Thank you, everybody who's called in this morning. We are going to give away some tickets now. Why? Because I love you. How's that? Zach Brown Band, September 4th, Molson Canadian Amphitheater. AC/DC, September 10th at Downsview. The numbers, you know them, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or star 590 on your Rogers cell phone. Feel free to call right now. All right, we can kill the music because we now have a guest, a woman that is incredibly well-decorated, and I'm not talking about her wardrobe, although she is a fine dresser as well. Angela Ruggiero joins us on the line. Angela, how are you this morning?
I'm well. You're knocking my wardrobe already. I'm just kidding.
No, I said you're decorated, and not just your wardrobe. You are one of the most decorated hockey players in history, male or female. You are a four-time Olympic medalist. You're a businesswoman. You're the fourth woman to be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. How do you feel? How did you feel when you got the word?
I was beside myself. Like, you know, obviously I saw a number, I saw 416 area code, said, you know, I know that's Toronto. Didn't realize the vote was going on today and, you know, had no idea that I was, you know, up on the ballot and I was just completely honored. Look at the classes that have come before me and obviously being the fourth woman and, you know, the other honorees this year, like Lindstrom, Sergei Fedorov, Chris Pronger. I mean, I was just looking around beside myself.
And as far as being a woman and playing hockey, and you grew up in California, which has become much more of a hockey hotbed. We know that the Los Angeles Kings winning two Stanley Cups has helped incredibly. But going back to the Wayne Gretzky era and the Wayne Gretzky trade is when it really began, and you've got a lot of players now coming out of warm weather markets. I mean, you've got, you know, the number one pick next year, Austin Matthews, is going to come out of Phoenix, it looks like. And you've seen the growth of the game in the warm weather markets. Look, you were in the Olympics four times. Again, when you started compared to when you retired, take us through that journey and how women's hockey was perceived when you first began playing on the U.S. Women's Olympic team. And compare that towards the end and the growth and the perception and the way women are treated. I mean, we had, you know, a couple of days ago, FIFA's talking about Alex Morgan, the U.S. women's soccer team star. They play Sunday, of course, in the final of the Women's World Cup. But they're still, you know, referring to her as lovely and she's pretty. And this is on the FIFA website. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing.
Well, I won't comment on FIFA because we'd be on you could talk to me for an hour about that. I will comment on my own experience. I mean, I started in California the year before Gretzky actually got traded. I sort of fell into the sport. I actually benefited because I was in a territory that didn't have a lot of hockey players. My dad went to sign up my younger brother who was six, and the local Mike team said, "Hey, we need more players. Do you have any other kids?" And my dad said, "Yeah, I have a couple of girls." And they said, "Great, bring them out. We'll give you a discount." And so that's kind of how I found hockey out in California. But the thing is, the families that do choose to play hockey in warm territories, you have to be extremely dedicated. So my family was in the car. You know, you're driving an hour to and from practice every day or before school. And so you get a really good group of young players, actually. And when I started, could never have imagined where hockey would take me. You know, I wanted to play for the Kings. That was my dream as a child. And this is at a time there was no women's hockey in the Olympics. There was no women's hockey in the NCAA. I mean, there was hockey, but it wasn't an officially sanctioned NCAA sport. You know, there were 5,000 girls and women registered in the U.S. at the time. Women's hockey was in some of its infant stages. And I see where I am today, where NCAA championship, Olympics, professional league starting. There's just so many more opportunities, and rightfully so. I mean, the sport of hockey, I think anyone that plays hockey or loves hockey should be trying to grow it in every dimension, whether that's on the women's side, the Paralympic side, adult hockey, youth hockey. I mean, if you love the sport, why not grow it and provide that opportunity for everyone that wants to play it? So super happy that I obviously came at the right time, had so many pioneers, Cammy Granato, another, you know, inductee who came before me and others that paved the way for me. I could never have imagined that I would be talking here today, talking about getting into the Hall of Fame. So really, really, really just completely humbled and honored.
It is 10:42. You're listening to Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Joey Vendetta with Angela Ruggiero, Hockey Hall of Fame inductee. We're going to have Chris Pronger on in the 11 o'clock hour, probably around halfway through. And Angela, you can follow her on Twitter, at Angela Ruggiero. Angela, look, not only did you play in more international games than any other athlete appearing in the Olympics, Four Nations Cup, all kinds of world championships and stuff, but, you know, you also played at Harvard, right? And had a great career there and got to go to an amazing school. And, hockey's provided you with many opportunities. Just talk about that, what hockey has done for you over the course of your life.
Hockey has completely changed my life. I mean, My family, my parents, you know, never graduated from college. I was able to use hockey to travel all over the world, to go to Harvard, Business School, to get all these unbelievable experiences. And, you know, I would say, like, and more than just the experiences themselves, like sport, anyone that gets to play the sport, anyone gets to play sports in general, you learn about yourself. You learn teamwork. You learn leadership skills. You learn, you know, winning. You learn losing. You learn all these, like, intangible life skills that you're going to take with you for the rest of your life. So hockey in and of itself definitely paved the way for me to go and get a great education, to play in the Olympics and live out my dreams as an athlete. But I'll definitely take lessons that I learned on the ice, you know, battling Canada and battling other teams with me, you know, now that I'm retired and have moved on to other things.
Talk about your rivalry, the U.S. rivalry with Canada over the course of your career. You played in four Olympics. You had so many games against the Canadian women's team that were just complete battles. You could tell that you respected each other, but you didn't like each other. Talk about the rivalry with Canada.
Actually, I love Canada. I just have to put it out there because that was the best. That was the most fun I ever had playing. You had to bring your A game. And so anytime I saw Canada was up, you had to hold your head a little higher and feel a little stronger and be, and train harder for that game. And so it was an intense rivalry. It will continue to be an intense rivalry. I absolutely love watching U.S. Canada games today. In the Olympics, you're guaranteed a close match. But it made me better. I mean, Canada made me better. And I think the Canadians would say the same about the Americans. We push one another and push our sport to the limit. And it's exciting for the fans, and I think just will continue to help the sport of hockey grow in general by having that rivalry and having that so front and center in people's minds.
And you're the fourth woman, as we said, inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame that began including women in 2010. I mean, it's actually shocking that it didn't happen before that. That's another discussion entirely, but Cammy Granato and Angela James and Geraldine Heaney all inducted before you. You're the fourth woman, and you've inspired, you know, along with Cammy Granato, I guess, as you said, she was kind of the first, but you've inspired a generation of female hockey players and female athletes as well in the United States. How does that make you feel?
It's amazing, really. I looked up to Cammy Granato. I looked up to Chris Bailey, you know, Karen By. There were players that came before me that I looked up to. And when I started playing, again, I didn't have female role models. I had the LA Kings. That's what I wanted to be. And so I can imagine a young, you know, 7 or 8-year-old girl now saying, hey, I want to be like Angela Ruggiero. I want to be like, you know, the female role models that they can see. And, you know, famous quote I love, Billie Jean King always says, if you see it, you can be it. And so having great role models, whatever that may be, sports, you know, professionally, what have you, is important. And so being able to visibly see those people, I think it gives you a tangible goal to aspire to. And, yeah, as a kid, I wanted to be Wayne Gretzky. I wanted to be Marty McSorley, Steve Duchesne, Tony Granato. I mean, I can list all those guys from that era. And that gave me something to aspire to, but now I think it's more tangible for young women. And I'm just so happy that I could play that role in my career when, you know, I was doing something I loved every day.
So for Angela Ruggiero, before we let you go, what is your career highlight, if you can pinpoint one?
you cannot be winning a gold medal at the Olympics. It was just, you know, to see your flag and hear your anthem and know that you've all people back home are supporting you and proud of you at that moment. It's a pinnacle for any athlete is to win an Olympic gold medal. So if I were to say anything else, I'd be lying.
Well, you've had some incredible achievements in your career. As you said, you know, you got to go to Harvard, but now you're working with the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, the United States Olympic Committee, and the International Ice Hockey Federation. Tell us about your work with those groups. What are you doing with them, and how did you get involved?
So I was elected to the International Olympic Committee by the athletes in Vancouver, actually, my last Olympic Games. And essentially, my role is advocacy. It's to ensure that the athletes have a voice in the Olympic movement. And so by virtue of that role, I was giving the medals to the women's soccer players in London. One of your roles is you oversee the Olympic movement, whether it's deciding the sports, deciding which cities will host the Olympics, helping, providing input on the rules and regulations in the Olympic movement. And then the perk is giving medals, which I think is a lot of fun. So you're an advocate and I have a similar role with the U.S. Olympic Committee and the IIHF, ensuring voices are heard and trying to just grow those committees, those federations, to ensure that, sports prospers and, whether it's the IIHF and providing my input and how I think the World Championships could evolve, or, here the U.S. Olympic Committee is bidding for the Olympics and trying to help Boston 2024. We play a number of different roles, but at the heart of it, I was elected as an athlete representative.
Angela, thanks for doing this, and congratulations on your upcoming induction into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Well-deserved, and thanks again for being on the show.
My pleasure. Say hi to Pronger for me. Tell him to take it easy on me in November when we'll skate together.
Pronger's on next hour. I'm going to tell you a quick Pronger story. I was playing in a tournament in Vegas, the Jerry Bruckheimer Hockey Tournament in Vegas, and Pronger played one year. And I was coming behind the net, and I was trying to go clear the puck, and I was looking down because, of course, I never look up when I'm skating. And so he's coming around the other side, and at the last second, I look up, and it's like a solar eclipse, right, because he's a giant, and the entire sky is, like, coming down on me. So I lift my stick up to – it was a natural reaction.
Oh, God.
And I cross-check him under the chin by accident.
Ooh.
And send him flying. He didn't know that it was me, and he gets up, and it's pickup, right? So it's not really intense, but it gets pretty intense. Skates down the ice, finds the first guy that he sees, and splatters him into the boards and, like, knocks the guy out. So we know that Chris is not a guy that you want to get mad, but I'll definitely send your regards and tell him that you were on the show and that to take it easy in November.
I think you should tell him it was you.
I may not admit to that, Angela. Thanks again for doing this, okay? And we'll talk to you
soon.
Take care. All right, that is Angela Ruggiero. And, other than Cammy Granato, the big figure in U.S. women's hockey. Great to have her on the program. It is 10:51. A great third hour upcoming. Stay tuned for it. Chris Pronger is going to be on the show. And up next, we're going to talk to two of the newest Toronto Raptors when we return on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.